You just jump in the river of God like this, you can just go forever. Because it's the river of life. It doesn't suck you dry. It's not draining to be in the presence of God. It's not draining to be in the river of God. I'm telling you, the river of God is more real than the Trinity River out here on this, in front of the street. It'll last a whole lot longer. Someday this whole earth's going to be renovated by fire and the river of God's still going to be flowing. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. Amen. Turn with me to Mark chapter 5. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 5. Message tonight is Operating in Tangible Power, part 2. Operating in Tangible Power, part 2. Mark chapter 5. There's a man named Jairus in verse 24 that begged Jesus to come with him. Jesus had just come over to the land of Gennesaret and seemed to be one of his first trips over into Gennesaret. But people had heard about him, and so Jairus had heard, and so he wants Jesus to come and minister to his daughter because his daughter is dying. Well, as they go on the way, word comes to Jairus that his daughter has just died. And you can read over in Luke 8:50, Jesus' iconic classic response, "Fear not and believe only, and she shall be made whole." And so this has all taken place, but the woman with the issue of blood slows down Jesus on his way to Jairus. And for good reason. But you know, there's no delay with God that's going to really cause any trouble. God has time for everybody. God has time. And when you think you have, you may be Jairus thinking, if God doesn't get this done by such and such a time, then I'm going to die. If God doesn't get this done by such and such a time, I'm going to lose my house. If God doesn't get this done by such and such a time, I'm going to lose my marriage. And then all of a sudden God slows down even more. How many of you ever had that happen before? If you're like me, you think that happens every time. You know, I wasn't born patient. You know, I'm learning it, praise God. You always want God to do it faster than he does. And so Jairus is walking with Jesus, but a woman with the issue of blood does something here. In verse 25, a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians, had spent all that she had and was never nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And in one of the other gospels, it says that she said within herself. And just a side note here, say what you say within yourself is so important. You can change your confession in your mouth at times when you're around the right people to where it looks and sounds good. But what are you saying within yourself? When you have the thing that is said within yourself is the right thing, when you're saying the right thing within yourself, then you're going to see a miracle take place. And this is everything that is said within yourself, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Sunday morning at church, the same thing you say within yourself is Sunday morning during church service is what you're saying Tuesday night when you're around the family or when you're facing bills and different things. What are you saying within yourself? She said within herself, if I may but touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And when at verse 29, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And Jesus, you see, Jesus felt it too. Make a note of that. Jesus felt it too. And the disciples said unto him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace and be whole of this plague. Now turn with me over to Acts chapter 5. I'm just going to read a few accounts here in Scripture. Acts chapter 5. And we'll start in verse 11. And great fear came upon all the church. This is after Ananias and Sapphira fell dead. And great fear came upon all the church. Well, I suppose so. That's something that really needs to happen in the United States today. There's no fear of God going on, and maybe I'll talk about that later on in the message. In a lot of churches and a lot of stuff that's going, and looks like it's growing, there's no fear of God in that. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest, no man durst join himself to them, but the people magnified them. In verse 14, the believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both men and women. Praise God. Added to the Lord. Praise God. Added to the Lord. I know in revival, you know, that there'll be some people that God calls that are already Christians serving God, that God calls, you know, into a church. But the majority of church growth from revival is people, as it says here, that are added to the Lord. People that are getting saved and born again, coming into the kingdom of God. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. People were all the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both men and of women. Praise God. We can just receive that for Calvary Cathedral tonight. Hallelujah. That believers were added to the Lord, both multitudes of men and women. Praise God. Added to the church here at Calvary Cathedral. Insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. And there came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. I wanted to make a point here about the, in verse 15, of the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow and touch and heal some of them. JD, can I grab some water? You might help me there. I can feel it coming on. Turn with me to Acts chapter 19. That was Peter's ministry, the shadow of Peter healing the sick, the garment of Jesus healing the woman with the issue of blood. And later on in Mark chapter 6, you will see that when Jesus came back to the land of Gennesaret later on, that the entire multitude sought to touch the hem of his garment, and everybody that touched the hem of his garment was made whole. Hallelujah. So Acts chapter 19, and we will start in verse 10. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all those which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. In verse 11, God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. So the tangible power of God was on these handkerchiefs or aprons that left Paul's body. He touched them, laid hands on them, and the power of God resided on these. And just like Elisha, when he was dead and they threw a soldier on top of his tomb and the soldier raised from the dead, the tangible power of God resided on these men of God. And whether you're man or woman, it doesn't make any difference. But if you get enough of it, it's going to reside on you, praise God. And it's going to change things around you. Hallelujah. Paul here, so in verse 11, and God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. So we're talking about the tangible power of God. Turn with me now to Luke 4, and we're going to wrap. We're not going to wrap up right now, but that's going to be our landing spot in the scripture. Luke chapter 4. In verse 1, Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost, it says, and now bump down to verse 14, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. So in verse 1, he was full of the Holy Ghost. In verse 14, he had the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, one thing you got to understand about Scripture is that God says certain things in a certain way for a reason. You just don't swath over Scripture and say, well, it doesn't really matter. You know, whether you're full or whether it's the power, it's all the same thing. Well, there is truth in that. But Jesus was full of the Holy Ghost in verse 1. And then in verse 14, he returned in the power of the Spirit. And then let me see if we can go over here to verse 32. It says, they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. And in other places when Jesus taught, they remarked and they were amazed at the power that Jesus operated in, because he taught with authority and power and not as one of the scribes. So there was something different about Jesus' ministry. There was something different about Paul's ministry, about Peter's ministry in Acts chapter 5, where the shadow of Peter healed people. In Acts chapter 19, where handkerchiefs and aprons were taken from the Apostle Paul and a tangible power of God was transmitted, and that healed and delivered people. God has something that is laid up for the righteous, for the people that don't compromise the moving of the Spirit of God, and that is tangible power. I want to tell you tonight that revival is not something that's spooky. It's not something that's mysterious. It's not something that the lucky church gets because they got the five prophecies from the seven winds that blew across the earth over the last 10 years. I mean, I know there's prophecy that's involved with revival. I know all those things, but it doesn't have to line up with all this spooky stuff. I'm telling you that everywhere that Jesus went, power was manifest. He had power residing on his physical body because of the power of the Spirit of God that he had pressed into. Everywhere that Paul went, power was manifest. There was power on his physical body because of his spirit had pressed into the things of God. And the devils trembled everywhere that these men went. Everywhere that Peter went, the devils trembled. People fell dead if they weren't serving God. And the fear of God came across everybody. Hallelujah. God has tangible power. And I'm telling you, I feel the unction of the Holy Ghost that it is time for us to step into that in a greater degree. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You want to see what's going to totally destroy the stronghold of religion that has bound the United States? It's the tangible power of God. Nobody's going to be able to play around with it. You can read there in Acts chapter 19 where we stopped reading. Right after that, the seven sons of Sceva tried to play religious games. You want to see what happened to those guys? They got stripped naked and went fleeing for their very lives. But you start to operate in the tangible power of God, all these religious games are going to stop. Religious games with Ananias and Sapphira wannabes that are playing games with God's money is going to stop, and people are going to start dropping dead. Hallelujah. Games, political games are going to stop because Herod, when he saw the move of God and saw the fire of God and saw thousands and thousands of people getting saved, and he heard the preaching of the gospel by Peter and John and saw the lame man and heard about the lame man getting raised up, the Herod still refused to magnify God. And it says he gave an oblation in King James. Yeah. He gave an oblation and he gave not God glory, and he magnified himself as a god and was immediately smitten with worms. Hallelujah. The power, the tangible power of God brings judgment, but it brings judgment on both sides. It brings righteous judgment for the people that are hungry for God, that love God, and it brings unrighteous judgment for the people that are standing in the way of the move of God. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, God's stirring this up right now here in this church. Praise God. I'm telling you, what God has started here in the latter part of 2016 in revival is only the beginning. It is only the beginning. Brother Basil's coming back, and however God pieces it together with pastor and ministers and everything, it's only the beginning. I want you to get stirred up right now that we've only seen the very beginning. Hallelujah. I believe we've just kind of like got the plane going down the tarmac, and it's like the front wheel is lifted off. I mean, we've seen a lot of stuff, great things these last several months, but I believe we're just barely getting off the tarmac because God has got such good plans for this church. It's going to go higher. I'm telling you right now, it's going to go higher. It's going to go higher. And the winds of revival are blowing through this church and blowing around this church. And before long, you won't even be able to recognize the way things were. God's doing a new things. He is creating a church that lives in perpetual revival, that lives in perpetual evangelism, and that sees multitudes of people added to this church daily because they are getting saved. Hallelujah. So get hungry. Get stirred up tonight. Don't get leaning back and think we're going back to church as usual, because that ain't happening here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, my faith is that when Basil comes up Sunday night, the level of revival is going to be higher than it was when he left. Praise God. When Pastor gets up Sunday morning, the spiritual level is going to be higher than it was last Sunday morning. Praise God. We're just kicking it up higher and higher and higher. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God has tangible power. Hallelujah. Tangible power is the key that breaks things open. The religious people have doctrine. I'm telling you, you talk to a religious person, they can talk doctrinal circles around you because that is all that they have. They can talk all this doctrine, and they can talk about which came first, the chicken or the egg, or did Adam and Eve have a belly button, and all of these things. They have doctrinal circles. They can go and talk all this stuff up. You don't know which way you're heading by the time they get done. But they can't get somebody healed of a common cold. They have no power whatsoever. They haven't led anybody to Jesus personally or in their ministry or anything, probably in 10, 15 years. Super religious people. People think they know religion. Professors in universities that are professors of religion, they don't know squat about what real religion is. I'm talking about the old time religion, the power of Jesus Christ. They don't know squat about it. You want to know what's going to poke holes in that? It's the tangible power of God. All the arguments and all of these things fall flat when the church wields the sword of the Spirit and the power of God is made manifest. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Political things fall flat when they try to stand against the kingdom of God when the power of God is made manifest. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 4, let me just put my Bible back there. Jesus started in the he was filled with the Holy Ghost. If anybody was holy enough to not need the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it would have been Jesus. You say, where are you going with this, David? Well, just follow him. If anybody was holy, Jesus never had sinned when he was age 30. And he got baptized with the Holy Ghost. How much more do we need the fire of the Holy Ghost today? How much more do we need the filling of the Spirit of God today? I want to tell you right now, there are a lot of things that God is doing, you know, and God can do limited things through people in ministries that don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And you know, we're not here to knock and come against anybody for anything, but we know what God's power is. We know what the Holy Ghost is. If Jesus had to have it, then we have to have it. Hallelujah. Jesus was filled with the Holy Ghost. Let me ask you this question right now. What are you filled with? It's right there in your chair. What are you filled with? What has been the dominant thing going through your thought, your train of thought the last several days? What are you filled with? What has been the dominant emotion that's been going through your emotions and your heart the last few days? What are you filled with? If Jesus had to be filled with the Holy Ghost, how much more do you have to be completely filled with the Holy Ghost, where that's when people bump into you, they just hear shakara basankara. They don't hear a cuss word. They don't hear darn it. They don't hear these things, but they just hear the Holy Ghost just squeeze right on out of you. What are you filled with tonight? Jesus was filled with the Holy Ghost. But in verse 14, he went out with the power of the Holy Ghost. Those are two different things, and they're not different in a lot of ways, but there is one difference between the filling of the Holy Ghost and the power of the Holy Ghost was a time of temptation. Why did Jesus have to be tempted? He was sinless. I mean, we all knew Jesus wasn't going to sin, but nevertheless, he was tempted. You know what the word says about the binding, the strong man? Jesus told this later on in the book of Luke. He said, when the strong man is bound, you can plunder his goods. Jesus was binding the strong man here. It wasn't, let me tell you right now, this is not a story in Luke chapter 4 of the devil just coming and beating up on Jesus. You've got to be kidding me. Well, the devil's beating up on me. I'm sick and I can't get healed. I've been in the prayer lines and my finances haven't gotten better. Let me tell you right now, you're looking at things in the realm of the natural, if that's the way you see it. If you were Jesus in the realm of the natural, you would think, oh, this is just a season of 40 days fast of the devil beating up on me. I can't even go out and grab a Whataburger. I'm just getting beat up by the devil. But if you really know the truth of the matter, Jesus was beating the devil's brains out during this time, and he was binding the strong man. Jesus defeated the devil. That's why everywhere Jesus went after that, devils would flee. People got healed and delivered and followed him. I mean, it was unstoppable because the filling of the Holy Ghost didn't squeak out during this time. When you get filled with the Holy Ghost, the devil's number one objective is to get you to leak. Hallelujah. Telling you, when revival's flowing here at the church and the joy's flowing and the anointing's flowing, the devil's number one objective is to try to get you a reason why you can't be in the service. He's going to come up with some good reasons. I mean, I'll just lay it out and tell you right now, Riley and I had some things that when Basil got here, nothing personal with Basil, we love him, we're friends with him. Other things that the devil outside of that threw at us. I mean, right when the meeting started, threw right at us and was trying to get us to get offended, and we didn't yield to it. I'm not saying we struggled with offense for 3 weeks and, you know, it was all JD's fault. No, I'm just kidding. JD and I are good friends. It was nothing like that, but the devil threw things at us to try to get us out. Sure. And he did that with many people. When the move of God starts, when the Holy Ghost comes to fill and to touch, the first thing that the devil's going to try to do is bring temptation to try to get you out and give you every reason why you can't go to church on a Wednesday night, give you every reason why you can't go to church on a Sunday night. Well, the whole rest of the world in the United States only has church on Sunday morning. Our services go 2.5 hours, others go 1 hour. So technically, I've been to 2.5 services just by going to Sunday morning. You know, this is the devil right here. Well, Calvary has 2.5 hour Sunday morning service. So if you go to there, you've technically been to 2.5 services at any other normal church. So technically, I've been to all 3 services there at Calvary. One thing I love about Calvary is we still have Sunday night and Wednesday night services. I literally don't know of another church that does that. And you can see the blessing of that here as revival is flowing. You hear Pastor and Brother Basil talking about what God's done the last several months with Sunday night and Wednesday night, how the river of God's just been flowing and the power of God's been touching people. You can see how God's just setting us up, bringing things right into place. Hallelujah. But the devil's first thing that he wants to do when you get filled with the Holy Ghost is try to get you to leak out. And as a preacher, I'm 40 years old, you know, a young preacher, and, you know, if you're 20, then I'm a middle-aged preacher. Just all depends on where you stand. But in my estimation as a young preacher, because I see so many things yet, you know, so many giants yet to be slain, mountains yet to be taken, I see other preachers that are my age, peers in the ministry, and they're doing things that I'm like, I don't really appreciate the path that has been taken by a lot of younger preachers. Especially Kenneth Hagin talked about in his 03 camp meeting. I've got the prophetic word saved on my computer, where he talked about ministries really were starting to struggle with flowing with the Holy Ghost and the fire of the Holy Ghost and the manifestations of the Spirit, and they were wanting to compromise it and just go a seeker-sensitive way. And really right about that time is when that whole thing begin to hit, the seeker-sensitive movement in the Spirit-filled church. And so many people with the call of God that you hear stories about, you talk to them or you know them, that had an experience where they were touched by the fire of God, touched by the, filled with the Holy Ghost, are now just, they're not preaching anything that has to do with the Holy Ghost. And the only thing they can do is pull out a 1 hour service or 1 hour and 10 minute service. You know, this is the way that I see that. I'm like, if you call a plumber and you have a job on your house that takes 2 hours to fix, but you're a seeker-sensitive homeowner and you want it done in 1 hour, then you're not going to get your plumbing fixed. Right. You know, it takes a certain amount of time to get the job done here in the ministry. It takes a certain amount of time of preaching the word and ministering and laying hands on people and doing praise and worship. I mean, we just got to do the job, people. Hallelujah. Right. Give yourself an applause because you're here on Wednesday night. But a lot of people, I'm telling you, in the last 15 years have compromised, and this is exactly what happened. In verse 1, in Luke chapter 3, verse 16, John the Baptist talks about the baptism of the Holy Ghost coming. Jesus was the baptizer in the Holy Ghost, and then Jesus got baptized with the Holy Ghost. And in Luke chapter 4, verse 1, Jesus was filled with the Holy Ghost, and the devil is dumb enough to even try to tempt Jesus. But the thing is he hates the filling of the Holy Ghost. Because he knows if you stay filled, then the next thing that happens is power is going to manifest. So let me tell you tonight, what God has been doing here at Calvary Cathedral is the answer of revival that we've been believing God for. We are seeing things happen. This is the move of the Spirit of God. And don't let the devil talk you out of being filled with the Holy Ghost for any reason. For any reason, don't let him talk you out of being filled. Don't let him talk you out of getting in the prayer line. Every time a prayer line is offered for a fresh touch of the Holy Ghost, go up in every single prayer line. Don't let him talk you out of it. Don't let him talk you out of just, well, we can watch it online and watch the online streaming. If you're watching online streaming right now and you're physically able to get to the church, just turn it off, get in your car, and you can come tonight. I'm going to preach another 3 hours, and I'll be waiting on you. I'm just kidding about that. You need to be here. Hallelujah, you need to be here. I don't believe at all in church that can take place 100% over a screen. Forget that. Forget that. I mean, just give me a break. The screen can't reach out and lay hands on you. And if you're sick and disabled, that's totally different. Or if you're traveling and different things, I understand. You know, you may have had such a ridiculous work week that it really is the wisdom of God for you to stay home and rest for a night. I understand that. That happens, you know, once every decade, you know, with me. So, but I'm different. I may have more endurance than most people. I love the house of God. I love being in church. If I'm in town, I love being here. I just love it. I've always been that way. But praise God. I don't. You know, we can't do church with a screen. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care who you are. Forget it. You can't lay hands on people. And how is a church going to grow and spread to satellite locations and not have enough leadership to where they can raise up pastors in those locations that can do the job? Why is it all got to be the same guy on the screen? Hallelujah. Because the devil wants to stop the filling of the Holy Ghost. Where's the power in that? Where's the filling of the Holy Ghost in this? I mean, come on. The Holy Ghost comes and fills people? Oh, great. You got a doctrine of the Holy Ghost? If all you have is a doctrine, you have no power. The devil can talk. You can get filled with the Holy Ghost and praise God. You spoke in tongues, but the devil's going to come and tempt every single person that has had that happen. And every single person is going to have these temptations hit them and so that they can walk away and compromise the filling of the Holy Ghost and the manifestation of the Holy Ghost. And they'll end up on the side of the road being a worthless Christian for the kingdom of God, doing absolutely nothing. And they may have 10,000 people in their church. They may have 30 million people following them on social media. But in the realm of eternity, they are accomplishing absolutely nothing because the devil came and tempted them and beat them when they got filled with the Holy Ghost and the devil won. Well, I don't understand that. You read it in the book of Revelation when Jesus visited John and he said to the church at Ephesus, if you do not repent, I will remove my candlestick from the midst of you. The candlestick, if you read it in the chapter before that, in chapter 2, was if Ephesus' status as a church. That's like, you know, having your status revoked as from the as a 501c3 or something like that. You didn't qualify, you didn't meet the standards, so now you're this is revoked. Or your license to do business, to practice medicine has been revoked because you weren't practicing. The Lord literally is saying to the church of Ephesus, if they didn't get their heart right and stop being lukewarm, he was going to remove the candlestick from out of their midst. The candlestick was their status as a church. That's what Satan wants to do. He wants to get people lukewarm. Ephesus had the greatest move of God of any city. The greatest move of God that the Apostle Paul ever had was in Ephesus. Ephesus, as I've preached many times, was geographically and financially and economically and trade-wise was a hub of the entire world of that day. It is exactly like Dallas-Fort Worth. I mean, if you want to do business, come to Dallas-Fort Worth. We're in the middle of the nation. We have highways and cities and airplanes. We're at one of the best locations. That was Ephesus. They experienced the greatest move of God during those times. But here they are later on, and Jesus is having to tell them through John, if you don't get your heart right and get on fire, even you are going to lose your status as a church. Why? Because the churches and the people that had the filling of the Holy Ghost to the greatest degree all have to withstand the temptation, because if the devil can get you to compromise, you'll end up being somebody that made it to Luke 4 verse 1, but you never made it to verse 15 where you operated in the power of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. That's good preaching right there. How many churches and ministries have just made that compromise? It's sickening. Thank God for Pastor Bob Nichols. Thank God for Pastor Bob Nichols. I've tried to think about this and I can't. I thought, where would I be if it wasn't for Pastor and Calvary Cathedral? Because there's not another church like this in town. There's not another pastor like this in town, and I'm not putting anybody down or anything, but when you look at what's been going on, I'm like, the call of God on my life, how could I ever have made it to this point without Calvary Cathedral? I mean, we've got to have, praise God, the right pastor, and we do. We've got to have the right relationships. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give him a bigger hand clap. I'm going to take a water break. Hallelujah. We got to make it from Luke 4:1 to Luke 4:14. We got to have the power. We are so positioned right now just to see revival explode and get higher and get bigger and get stronger and never stop. I'm telling you, I was so excited when Basil came and I saw these meetings start up. I'm excited to preach myself. I'm excited about all of it. I was excited because I saw what God was doing. I saw the pouring, the ministry of the Holy Ghost. And the Lord spoke to me in the beginning of those meetings on the floor, on my back. And I'm telling you that we are in a perpetual state of revival that's going to just keep, the winds of revival are going to keep blowing. And this thing is going to just, I'm telling you, before you even realize it, you and this church is going to be escalated to a higher level like we have never seen before. Praise God. Do not, under any circumstances, just put it in neutral and coast to the side of the road right now. I'm telling you, we're only in first gear right now. We're only in first gear. You know, when you're in first gear, you punch it real hard. That car, like, I've got a Corvette that I'm about to sell. But I souped it up. You know, JD and y'all helped me put a good engine in this thing. That thing's fast. I mean, you can sit at a stoplight and just smash it. And those tires, I got the widest tires you can put on that car. So, because I want traction. But those things will just burn rubber, and it's loud, too. It was funny, before Riley and I got married, we were driving the vet like a week before the wedding, and we went over right over here to get some tacos or something on the way back. I was like, so, because we drove, after we got married, we went out this fellowship hall door, and my vet was right there, and we drove off in the vet to our house, and I was like, so Riley, should I do a burnout after we walk out in front of everybody? She was like, yeah, do a burnout. And I was joking because I know how loud it is. She didn't really know. She was just thinking it was like a little eek. But it was not. That's not what a Corvette burnout, this car does. I mean, it is like, it is really loud. So there in Sylvania, I was going probably at 20 miles an hour, and I think I dropped it into second and hammered it, and the car just went, and she was like, stop, stop, stop. I was like, that's a burnout, Riley. I can do it if you want. She's like, no, don't do a burnout. It'd have been spitting gravel all over everybody. But anyway, when you're in first gear in a car, you punch it, that thing peels out. You know, you don't want to peel out too much because you're not going anywhere. But that thing moves, and then you're hitting high RPMs. You got to hit the RPMs just right. Like in my car, it's about 5,500 RPMs in first before you want to go to second. And God, you know, I think we're still almost in first gear with this move of the Spirit of God. And God just wants to amp it up even higher. You want to know how to go the next level? Just get so focused, get so prayed up that you are about to literally explode. And that's the time to shift gears and go into second and hammer it. And you're peel the tires in second gear, just like I can in that vet. If I want to go through all the gears, I can peel the tires, I think, all the way up into fourth. I haven't tried it. But that's what God's doing right now. I'm telling you, we're just in first gear right now. So don't, under any circumstances, begin to put it in neutral and coast off to the wayside. I'm telling you, get hungrier. Pray more. Get focused. Come with a greater energy to the services and to see what God is doing here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 4. I want to read over some of these temptations. I keep losing my place. And the devil said unto him in verse 3, if you be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. Yeah. Two problems with that verse 3. He said, if you're the Son of God. The devil wants to doubt your identity. He wants to give you an identity crisis. Yes. You know, for Jesus, you know, it's absurd to say Jesus was young in the ministry. He was 30 years old here. He was getting started in the ministry. But comparably to anybody else in the ministry, you'd be young in the ministry. So just if this is anybody else and they're getting tempted with this, well, if you are going to be a great preacher, then do this. And I'm telling you right now, for somebody that's got visions from God and a word from God for a big ministry, if somebody says that, it'll hit some insecurity on the inside of you. If you have any insecurity, you'll be like, well, yeah, I am. I'm going to show you who I am right now. You want to see some preaching, Jack? I'll show you some preaching. You get up there and make a mess of things. You know, but just Satan was trying to tap some insecurity in Jesus. When you're believing God for something, for revival and for increase in your house or financial blessing, the devil's going to come and say, well, if you really have financial blessing, then why don't you go and do this? He's going to try to get you to do something that looks good, but the devil cannot author anything. Jesus is the author and the finisher of faith. The Satan does not author anything around here. Well, if you're all this, then why don't you give both cars away? Well, that can look really holy and spiritual for you to give both cars away. But if it's not God telling you to do it, then you don't have a harvest coming and the devil just beats you. So Satan is trying to throw a temptation at Jesus to work a miracle that he shouldn't have worked because he was attacking his identity. You know what? We cannot lose our identity as a faith church and as a revival church. Hallelujah. We are who we are. We are in perpetual revival. The devil can shove it if he thinks he's going to convince us of anything else. Hallelujah. He wants to attack our identity. And then he attacked Jesus' hunger. He attacked his provision. That's another thing the devil wants to attack. He wants to attack your provision. And he can knock you off of the plan and the will of God by coming against the provision of God for you. Jesus was hungry. He hadn't had any food. So in the natural, this looked really real. It looked like he didn't have what he needed. And the devil will come when you don't have any money and say, well, if this, then why don't you do this? And you know you hadn't got but 10 bucks in your account. You can't go take this step and move out on the plan of God, but you can do it if God's told you to do it. I don't know how he's going to provide, but he will. But Satan wants to pull you out of God's plan by trying to tell you that God's not providing for you. And I'm going to tell you right now, in my traveling around and talking with ministers and being in all these cities and seeing seeker-sensitive churches that have risen up, the number one reason, and people can get mad about it, I do not care. The number one reason that they do that is because it's easy money in the ministry. That's why. That's one of the biggest reasons why they go seeker-sensitive, because it's easier money in the ministry. In 2012, Jason Mangum and I were in Corpus Christi, and we sat down with the pastor that was a great, awesome guy that was working with us in the crusade, and we were ministering to his. We actually just preached Sunday morning. We were sitting there doing Sunday afternoon lunch. And he told us that another pastor in town, because this pastor was contending for revival and believing God for souls to be saved. His church was called Lord of the Harvest Church. And he was believing God for revival, and praise God, we were an answer to that. So we joined hands with this pastor, and it was awesome, blessed. And he had Sunday morning and Sunday night. One service Sunday morning, you could just go as long as God would move and people were hungry. Sunday night, the same thing. And man, evangelists, when you're traveling, you love that. When you're an evangelist and the majority of Spirit-filled churches do an hour and 15-minute service and that's the only time the pastor preaches to his congregation, where are you going to fit in that church? They don't want to win souls anyway in those services. I know that's a hard thing to say, but I'm just telling you right now. And that's a hard thing to say, David. Well, hey, I've traveled and I've had doors shut. I've had, pastors no-show me. I've run the gamut with all this stuff. And anyway, I'm not trying to dig myself a ditch. Hallelujah. But Jesus, the temptation, they do things like that. The devil throws this thing at preachers because it's easier money in the ministry. And that's what he wants to do. And what happens when you take that out? What happens when you start going to a one-hour service? The Holy Ghost can't do anything in that service. It's so regimented, the Holy Ghost has no room in that service. He can't move. The people started off full of the Holy Ghost. But the devil came, just like he did with Jesus, and said, you're hungry. If you're all this, then you need provision. And if you take the bait and go the wrong direction, you took easy money in the ministry and easy money for the things of God. And what happens is the fire of the Holy Ghost has immediately been compromised. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah tonight. Just help me out. Yeah, and I preached and traveled for years, dealing with this, and you had to believe God. Hallelujah. I mean, you're just going from city to city with no promise. There was one time when I couldn't get out of a city in Arkansas except JD gave me a $100 offering on my website, my ministry website. That was the only way I had even had money back then one time to have gas to leave town. So I've walked this. I know what I'm talking about. That Satan came to attack Jesus in the area of provision. And he does the same thing with people today. He wants to attack your provision and he wants to attack the church's provision. And he's going to hit us at a weak moment when it looks like the bank account is dry and funds are dry and offerings aren't coming in, or your business or your job is going crazy. And he wants to get you off of the moving of the Spirit of God. And what God started in you by filling you with the Holy Ghost, he can't complete because you're never going to make it to verse 14 where the power of God is manifest in your life. But I'm telling you tonight that you are making it, praise God. Calvary Cathedral is making it, glory to God. It doesn't matter what the bank accounts look like. They may be full. The vets may be full. They may be low. I don't know. But God's provision is sufficient for Calvary Cathedral. God's provision is sufficient for you tonight. Hallelujah. We're not going to take the bait, praise God. We know who we are and we know who our provision is. We know who our provider is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the devil, I'm going to go through these other ones a little quicker here. The devil took him up to a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this power I will give you in the glory of them, for it is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. Therefore, if you worship me, all will be yours. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. The devil also has a temptation to give you a shortcut to what God has promised you. See, I don't know. I can't explain how he knows what you want, what you're believing God for, but he has a way sometimes of being able to know right where the stranglehold is. And he's going to try to offer you a shortcut on how to get where God has called you to be, how to get there quicker and easier. He was telling Jesus, you don't have to go die on the cross. You don't have to do any of this stuff. God the Father wants you to die on the cross. He wants you to go and be crucified. But I, the God of this world, will give you everything that you're going to get anyway if you'll just worship me. He's given him a shortcut. The devil has a shortcut. The devil is absolutely terrified of people that are filled with the Holy Ghost. That's what he's after. He comes to steal the word. And he's also coming to steal the Holy Ghost that's on the inside of you. Don't give it up for any reason. Don't give him one single inch. Don't give him anything. If you give him an inch, he's going to take a mile. But don't give him anything. God has got your identity taken care of. What God told you that you're going to do, you're going to do. What God told you who you are, that's who you are. Hallelujah. You're a mother and father of a family that serves God. All your children are taught of the Lord. Hallelujah. And great shall be their peace. Hallelujah. That's who you are. Don't take the bait of the lie of the devil trying to tell you that your family is anything less than that. It doesn't matter what it looks like. Jesus' circumstances here in the natural looked terrible. Nobody believed in him at this moment. Nobody. His mother didn't believe in him at this moment. Nobody on planet Earth believed in Jesus at this moment. How many of you have been in a place or might be there right now where nobody believes what God has told you is going to come to pass? And you even kind of struggle with yourself, and here he comes, throwing doubt. And then on top of that, he says, you can't make it. You don't have enough provision. And then the next thing he says is, hey, look, I'll give you everything if you just worship me. Just compromise a little bit, and I'll just give it to you all on a silver platter. You can think of musicians in the secular world today. One of them whose parents pastor a church that Brother Dale Gentry knows, and spirit-filled people, and their daughter was a great, talented, tremendous singer, just took the bait. Praise God, we pray for mercy over her, for God that she'll humble her heart and return and repent. But you know, people take the bait and take the easy road. And the Holy Ghost power goes right out the door. But not here, praise God. No shortcuts. Praise God, no shortcuts. We'll take the long cut. Hallelujah. The long cut is good enough for me. We're going to make it. It's going to work. Hallelujah. And Jesus responded to the word. In verse 9, and Satan brought Jesus to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said, if you be the Son of God, cast yourself down, from here. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you and to keep you. And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest at any time you will dash your foot against a stone. So Satan here comes and attacks Jesus' identity again, and he twists and perverts the word. And that is one of the worst, most deceptive attacks, is people that have fallen victim to the word of God being twisted. The word of God has to match up with all the rest of the word of God. Whatever word you're standing on has to match up with all of the rest of the word of God. You can't take one word at the expense of another word. And I'm telling you these things because it's in the Word, but also because the Word says in the end times, the very elect shall be deceived. I can think of a ministry over in Dallas that I was talking about with somebody the other day that I'm like, I don't even see how that preacher's going to make it into heaven when you hear about the things that he is saying nowadays. Started off, I'm talking about preaching like a man on fire, preaching barn burning messages all over the place. And then you see what's going on today? It's like, is that one of the people that the Word talked about, the very elect shall be deceived? Well, I'm telling you, nobody's getting deceived in this place. Hallelujah. We are not falling for the bait. We are not compromising. We are not backing down. What God has started here in Calvary Cathedral, He's going to finish all the way into that great and glorious day when the Lord returns. Hallelujah. With the shout in the heavens. Praise God. Hallelujah. Not losing ground, not losing an inch. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know that's tough preaching, but praise God, somebody's got to preach it. That's the word of God right there. That's what made Jesus who he was on the earth and who he is today. And it's what is making you and me here in this world right now as Calvary Cathedral, the church, and you as the son and daughter of God standing for the will and the purpose of God for your life. No compromise whatsoever. Amen. And Jesus answered with the word. Hallelujah. Yes, let me tell you right now, God never leads you through pressure. If the pure word is not enough, then it just don't even do it. God never leads you through pressure. God leads you through the word. He leads you through the spirit. And Jesus won all of these temptations. In verse 14, Jesus returned in the power of the spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him throughout all the region around about. Verse 32, they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you tonight, praise God, Calvary Cathedral, that we are stepping into the power of God. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, it's time for the power of God to be manifest. And people getting delivered from demons when they walk into this place. I mean, you may bump somebody and they growl a little bit at you. Turn around and say, Jesus, and get them free right there. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Lord, turn it up in this place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We say, yes, Lord, turn up the heat. Oh, hallelujah. Turn up the heat in this church. Turn up the heat in this place, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, for the manifestation of your power, the manifestation of your spirit. Oh, hallelujah. Do it here and do it more, Lord. We are hungry for more, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Why don't you stand up on your feet tonight? Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm telling you, the power of God's in this place. Hallelujah. There is nothing greater, nothing more important that the power of God points to than to get saved. Hallelujah. But I'm going to lay hands on people. But if you're in this place tonight, if there's any doubt in your heart, and if you were to die right now, that you would go straight to heaven. If there's any doubt in your heart, then I want to pray with you right now. God is speaking to you and touching your heart. Or you may say, David, I know I'm going to heaven, but I know my heart is just not right with God. I know that I'm going the wrong direction. And if you keep going in that direction, you feel like you may not make heaven someday. If you're in one of those two categories, the Lord's speaking to your heart.
Praise God, He's touching your life. Nothing's more important. The power of God will save you and transform you right now, turn things around in your life. If you're in this place right now and you don't know for sure that you would make heaven, or you know you're going to heaven, but you know that your heart is not right with God, I want you to pray with me right now. I want you to raise your hand on the count of three in just a moment, because the Lord's speaking to your heart. It's time to change. It's time to make a break. Hallelujah. The power of God is here to turn your life around. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If that's you right now, I want you to throw your hand in the air. If you don't know for sure that you're going to heaven, or you know your heart is not right with Jesus, praise God, this is the most awesome moment of your life. One, two, three. If that's you, raise your hand in the air and wave it at me just like this. Thank you, Jesus. That's you. Just wave. Thank you for these hands going up. Thank you for everybody that's raising your hands right now. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Johnny, why don't you sing that song? I'm going to ask those of you that are raising your hand, I want to meet you down here at this altar. If you raise your hand for that call, I want to pray with you. Come down here to the front and stand with me right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Y'all give Him a hand clap tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Y'all can put your hand down. Just stand right here and face me. Go ahead and just face me. Hallelujah. Bless you all so much. Y'all make it worth it. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Bless you, sir. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Is there anybody else tonight? Anything between you and Jesus? Time to get it right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless you, sir. Praise God. You are loved. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You are blessed. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else? We'll just wait a moment longer. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for touching every single one of these people. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I'm going to ask those of you up here, just to, if you just look at me, face me right now, and you can stand your knee if you want. I want to lead you in a prayer. It says, Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for me. I want to surrender my heart and my life to you. The Bible says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, if you pray and believe this with your heart, that you shall be saved. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less. You continue to walk with Jesus, but your salvation is sure tonight. Whatever, y'all pray this prayer after me. I'm going to pray a part, and you pray out loud after me and mean it with your heart. Just close your eyes right now and place your hands on your heart and pray this out loud after me. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you right now, and I believe you died on the cross, and that you rose from the dead to forgive all of my sin. Come into my heart right now and be my Lord and Savior. I give you my life. Let me never be the same. In Jesus' name, baptize me with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Right now, in Jesus' name, thank you for saving me. Amen and amen. Just take a moment here at the altar just to talk to the Lord right now on your own. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You touch these people up here at the front.